Would you turn to Matthew 4, please? I believe if we can grasp this message tonight, your world will change. You know, God is bringing us to other areas, other levels. You know, a few Saturdays ago, the Holy Spirit shared on a Saturday morning about the river of God that was going up and then turning left. It was about staying in the anointing and staying in the river, denying yourself. And that when the river turns, if you're not in God's will, if you're not walking correctly, if your heart's not right, you're going to miss the turn. Amen? And yesterday somebody came to me and they had a dream. And it was pretty powerful because it was the disciples loaded up in the van. And I'm not going to go through the whole dream, but everybody was driving one way and other parts of the ministry were following them. And all of a sudden the van turned left. And and the van turned left, and all the cars are trying to sway out of the way and whatever, and a motorcycle hit the tail of the van but went through it, and the person was not hurt. And like I said, then all of a sudden the van, all the cars were trying to go all the way around it and all kinds of things, and the person woke up and came and told me the dream. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was telling me, he was giving me confirmation of what was given already from the vision I had in the Spirit. And he was confirming, in other words, the Spirit tells us things to come. Now, we knew that there was a shift in the Spirit. And so he gives us confirmation. But then when the confirmation comes, he lets you know when the shift has been established in the Spirit, there's something he's about to give you to bring you to another place. Are you with me? See, because the shift is in the Spirit, so he arms you and begins to impart in you so that you can walk in that level that he's brought you to. Because see, if you're not ready to walk in that level, in other words, he brings you to the level, then he teaches you how to walk in it. It's like a period of grace where if you can't walk in that level, you're going to be taken out. Hello? Now, I'm not talking about literally taken out. I'm talking about you're going to miss what God is doing right then. And then you'll have to go back in the cycle and get back up to that level. Are you with me? In Matthew 4 and verse 12, and I believe that this message, and we're going to do a series, because there are certain things that we've got to understand. And as a believer, we've got to understand these things because we have been in deception. And even the body of Christ is in deception in certain areas. Are you with me? Amen? And the body of Christ is constantly going through deliverance and healing, isn't it? And we know that the devil, his weapon is deception and his power is fear. And he's always trying to deceive us to get us to go astray, isn't he? And in some way or another. In Matthew 4, in verse 12, it says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Everybody say that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now the word repent, we got to understand something. What he's saying in the word repent is, it's time to change your mind. Are you with me? Change your mind. See, we know that repentance also, we are assisted with repentance because when you and I repent, the blood of Christ is activated. Amen? Which gives you an opportunity to change your mind or take another course. Are you with me? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand or has drawn near. Now, the kingdom he's talking about, if it's of heaven, is invisible, isn't it? Amen? It's invisible. So a kingdom which is invisible, that is in heaven, has come to the earth to become visible. Are you with me? The kingdom of heaven has come to the earth to become what? Visible. Okay? Oh, hallelujah. Now, he's saying, turn from your ways and come into the real kingdom. Now, Jesus did not come and preach, repent because religion is here. I want to share something with you that we need to come out of the mindset that Christianity is a religion. It is not a religion. Christianity is citizens of a kingdom. And we've got to get understanding about what a kingdom really is. Then you'll know who you are and what the whole course and God's purpose of everything is involved. Are you with me? Remember, Jesus did not come, he didn't come to bring religion, amen? He came to bring a what? Kingdom. He came to bring the what? Kingdom. Now, what is a kingdom? Well, a kingdom, if you split the word, it says kingdom, right? A king is one that rules over a territory, and a territory is a representation of a domain, amen? So it's someone who rules over a territory or a domain, he is known as a king. Are you with me? Now, the territory is governed, now understand this, the territory is governed by the king's purpose. The king's purpose, the king's will, the king's culture, values, morals, and lifestyle, in hope that the king's desire will become the nature of his citizens. Come on, are you with me? I'm going to repeat this. A king is one who rules. He rules a territory known as a domain. And the territory is governed by the king's purpose, his will, his culture, values, morals, lifestyles, in hope that the king's desires become the nature of his citizens. Are you with me? Okay. Now, this is God's government. See, the governing is called government. Are you understanding this? Now, God's government is ruled as a kingdom. His kingdom is ruled as a government. It is a government. It's God's government. And there's a difference between God's government and man's government. Oh, hallelujah. Now, God's government is the ruling authority that governs the people according to the king's ethics and principles. Come on. God's government, all right, is the ruling authority that governs the people according to the king's ethics, principles, and I'm going to give you one other thing, wealth. Okay. God's government, all right, it is the ruling authority that governs the people according to the king's ethics, principles, and wealth. There is no distinction of rich or poor. All citizens have equal access to kingdom wealth, which is called commonwealth. Do you understand that? This is God's kingdom, all right? This is God's government. God's government is the ruling authority according to the king's ethics, principles, and wealth. In other words, there's no distinction of poor or rich. Everybody has access. Everybody has access. Is everybody with me? To the king's wealth. Amen. Everybody has access to his kingdom wealth. In fact, the word welfare is because a king was concerned about the welfare of his people. It wasn't like what we have in a government now. Are you with me? They call a commonwealth in our government now, an area where there's grants or money distributed to a certain sector where there's the commonwealth and they only release so much to whatever is needed or somebody's qualified for it. But in God's kingdom, the government of God's kingdom is that everybody has access to the king's wealth. And I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about everything. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, healing, everything. King is one who owns all the land. And he begins to purchase other territories to colonize it. Now, let me explain something with you. In the old time or the Old Testament, in certain areas, and I'm not going to get into all this stuff because we're going through some series, but we're going to go to an understanding of what a kingdom is. First of all, it's a king that owns territory. He owns the land. And what he does, and in this area, what he does, he allows people to live on his land. He owns all the land. He allows people to live on his land. All right? They cultivate it. They use the land because of his graciousness. And then what they do is they give an offering to the king for using the land. Are you with me? But nobody buys the land. They use it. And then what happens is once the king, everybody becomes associated with his ethics and principles, and everybody has access to the commonwealth, then the king sends somebody out or a mission out to go purchase more land, which we call colonizing. Are you with me? Okay. Now, the king is the king of that land, all right? When he goes and he sends out to colonize it, he is still king of his land, but whoever's ruling that land that's been colonized is called a king also. Unless the king shows up on that land, then the king that was ruling that land is no longer a king. Are you with me? But then when the king leaves that land, that person that was a king takes his office again. That's how it was run. Are you with me? Of course, we know that according to many of the movies that we've seen and many of the things that were run because it was run by man and not by God, we know that a kingdom existed of a king that was concerned about his own wealth and well-being. The more he owned, the more power he had. And that's where they had peasants and people that were poor and begging for bread and whatever, but the king didn't support them, did he? He just took from the poor to support his own empire. But I'm talking about God's government. Amen? So a king is one who owns all the land and begins to purchase other territories and colonize them. To expand His will and purpose, His plan, lifestyle, and wealth to anyone willing to obey His kingdom rule or government. Are you with me? So what He does is then anyone who's willing to come under submission to His ruling government, He provides everything to them just like He did the other ones. Now His rule in government or His rule in laws is called a constitution. And we're not going to talk about all that tonight. But we will. Oh, hallelujah. So those who are willing to submit under the constitution of that land, of that government, everything is available to them. Even protection to them. But everybody is equal. Everybody has the same access to all the riches of the king. Are you with me? Go to Isaiah 9. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9. Is it hot in here? Thought so. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do we have the AC up okay? Is everybody hot? Let's cool it off in here. I'm for that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, would you read it with me? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what? Government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be what? No end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? Perform it. So Jesus we know as the King, and His government is everlasting. I want to share something with you, that earth was colonized with the kingdom of heaven. So your mind can, you know, our peanut brain mind can't comprehend all what's happening, but we can comprehend as much as we can. Amen? So if you look at the kingdom of heaven, so there was already a kingdom in heaven, right? God chose to create the natural realm to establish His kingdom that was unseen to an arena that was seen. Are you with me? So the earth was colonized and a king was placed here to rule. Amen? Okay. Jesus came to bring the kingdom, not religion. Amen? Now let me tell you what religion does. Religion seeks to bring earth to heaven. Kingdom seeks to bring heaven to earth. Religion seeks self-exaltation. Kingdom seeks the king. These are kingdom ethics, aren't they? Religion prepares a man to leave the earth, and kingdom empowers a man to dominate the earth. In other words, we're not allowing life circumstances to rule us. Life no longer rules you. You rule the circumstances of life. And that's what the kingdom does, doesn't it? Religion seeks service or servants. Now, I know that we call things servants, but I'm going to share something with you a little bit different. The kingdom seeks stewards. That's the difference. Do you understand this? Religion seeks service, but the kingdom seeks stewards. Religion seeks to dominate a man. The kingdom seeks to free the man. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 23. We are in a kingdom, not in religion. This is not an organization. It's a living organism. Are you with me? That's associated with a kingdom. So the earth was colonized by the kingdom of heaven. Now you can go way back and way back and way back. And you wonder, you know, I'll never forget that one day the Lord had me roll up a piece of paper. And he said to me, Guy, he says, when I created all things, my angels and heavenly hosts were all here. He said, roll out the piece of paper. And I rolled out the piece of paper. And he said, that's... when the universe was created, it was just with like a piece of paper that rolled out, and we all stood there as I called it in. And he said to me, roll up the piece of paper again, and I rolled up the piece of paper. He says, now hold it and put yourself where everybody else was. And I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, now, in my next creation, you'll be there when I roll out my next creation. In other words, we will be watching the next creation like the heavenly hosts watch this creation. Because you got to understand something. This is a kingdom and an everlasting kingdom. Do you realize something? That we're going to continue to colonize, colonize, and colonize. Come on, are you with me? Do you get this? We're going to colonize. This is just a training ground right now. You're going to be, you're part of the first colonization that's going to go extensively to eternity. And you will rule and reign in places depending on your obedience. Oh, we get so caught up in this foolishness. And Matthew 23. Is everybody there? Why? Because you're a part of a kingdom, not a religion. You are a citizen of a kingdom. And we're not going into all that tonight. But we will. In verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Come on, read it with me. What did he say? For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man. Wow. See, he was getting down on the Pharisees and the scribes. And why? Because they were not explaining the essence of the kingdom. They taught religion. Everybody was thinking that Christianity is a religion. It's not a religion, it's a kingdom. We just talked about some of the things. We could go on all night and tell you the difference between religion and what a kingdom does. Every human being has within themselves to want to be governed. Everybody. Why? Because that's what you were birthed with. Everything in the whole world is associated with the kingdom, but they call it socialism or Marxism or communism or whatever. But there are not righteous kingdoms, are they? Dictatorships, even democracy. It's not ruled by a king. It's ruled by the people. Hello? They call it freedom, but it's as close as we can get to freedom, isn't it? But it's still bondage. It's still deception. We will not have true rule until the king comes. Oh, hallelujah. Now, he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he calls them all hypocrites, doesn't he? For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. In other words, like a disciple. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Why? Because they were shutting off the kingdom of heaven. They were shutting off the kingdom of heaven. Go to Matthew 6. Oh, hallelujah. Man, when you find out who you are, see, the enemy don't know, want you to know who you are. Remember, we were born blind. And the scales come off. See, we were born in the kingdom of darkness. But God broke down the walls. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Hello? That's when he was thrown out of heaven. In verse 25 he said, in 6:25, is everybody there? Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more than value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's a Christian. Are you with me? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom. In other words, get understanding of what the kingdom is. Acknowledge what the kingdom is. Become a part of the kingdom. Enter the kingdom. Comprehend the kingdom. Are you understanding? Understand kingdom ethics. Understand kingdom principles. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm telling you to understand the kingdom. And his righteousness. In other words, his character, his will, his desires, his law, his word. Amen? But there's something he said even before that he said, seek. Seek first the kingdom. Seek meaning put things in priority. Let me share something with you. The greatest failure is to be successful in the wrong assignment. I'm going to repeat that. The greatest failure as a believer can be successful in the wrong assignment. That's why he said, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, if you do not seek the kingdom of God, if you don't seek him, if you don't seek, he said, seek the kingdom of God. Amen. Understand what the kingdom of God is. Know who you are. And his righteousness. Seek his character. And then all things will be added to you. Why? Because you have access to all the commonwealth. Again, to be successful, the greatest failure as a believer is to be successful in the wrong assignment. Go to Genesis 1. Oh, hallelujah. So what we must do, he's saying, the word seek first means get your priorities in order. What are your priorities? He says, seek the kingdom of God, not your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband. Hello? Seek ye the kingdom of God first. Don't seek your finances to make your decision. Seek first. So priorities must be in order. If priorities are not in order, there's always trouble. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, it says this. In the what? Stop. In other words, in the beginning, God created time. The word beginning means that time was created. In the beginning. Because he was before the beginning. His kingdom was before the beginning. It was an everlasting kingdom before and ever will be. So he's always been a king. He's always reigned. His purpose was to expand into different dimensions to rule his children that they would be expressed and impressed with his character and colonize other areas. He is a king. That didn't say nothing about a religious dude. In the beginning, in other words, time was created. Time, now listen, time is the currency of your life. Time is the currency of your life. In other words, whatever you buy, whatever you put your time is what your life is, isn't it? Amen? Effective use of time must involve establishing correct priorities. Amen? Why? Because correct priorities will protect time. It will protect energy. It will protect discipline. It will protect your talents and gifts. It will protect the true purpose and calling. Are you with me? Correct priorities it simplifies things when things are done in order. You know, if your priorities are in order, things, it doesn't cause confusion. Confusion is just associated with priorities that are not in order. That's all. That's why confusion comes. And the devil loves to bring confusion so that your priorities are messed up. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are two priorities. Seek the kingdom of God. Those and his righteousness are the priorities of survival and success according to the will of God. He said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those two should be the main priorities of your life. They are priorities of humanity. It is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Diligently. Now, you know, I'm talking about something that's, you're to diligently, you're to dedicate in finding out what the kingdom is. Are you with me? And then get in alignment with the authority or his authority or government. His. So we are to not only seek and diligently find out, get understanding of what the kingdom is, but then get in alignment with his authority. Because if you're not under authority, you have none. In other words, study the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now it says that in the beginning, in other words, God created time. And then it says, God created the what? Heavens. The heavens were created. The kingdom of heaven was colonized by his will, spiritual hosts, and righteousness. Are you with me? Heaven was colonized by his will, his spiritual hosts, and his righteousness. Heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 1. John chapter 1. John 1, 1. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? So you don't belong to a religion, you belong to a kingdom that makes you a citizen. But we must understand what a kingdom is and get in line with its authority, its government. That's how people become successful in other things, but it wasn't what they were supposed to be successful in. Can you imagine how many believers, the greatest failure is to be successful in the wrong assignment? Why? Because they really didn't seek or come under and get in line with the authority. Amen? An individual cannot comprehend what the kingdom is or come in line with the authority, the governing powers of God Almighty that he places offices, will always become the greatest failure because they seek to do the right thing, but they don't come in line with the authority. The devil moves them to another place to become successful on the wrong assignment. And they give God all the glory for their success. But it's the wrong assignment. And in God's eyes, it's a failure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made what? Through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So, what gives him the right to be king? He made it. Amen? Now, well, because he owns the territory, doesn't he? So he has the right to be king. Now, for someone to be associated with kingship, it must be inherited. It isn't voted. We have a president that gets voted. That's not my daddy's kingdom. My daddy's kingdom is you inherit kingship. Oh, hallelujah. Now, so we see the Word was with God and the Word was God and all things were created through him and for him. So the whole universe, this whole dimensional realm of the universe was created for Jesus. That's why he's king. Are you with me? Now, if God the Father showed up on the earth, Jesus would not be king. Do you understand that? That's why the earth was colonized. Because Jesus is king of this dimensional creation. Hello? Oh, praise God. The universe was made by God, the Word. Amen? Praise God. So that gives him the authority to be king, because he owns the land, doesn't he? Can you imagine owning the whole universe? You know, we can't even comprehend that. We have a hard time with the front lawn, you know. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, to God be the glory. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody okay? Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 13. Is everybody there? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the what? Kingdom of the Son of His love. See, that's why He came as Son. You'll see. In whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the what? Invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. In other words, this is a whole other dimension, isn't it? For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and what? For him. That's why you and I are his inheritance. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Ooh, the beginning of what? This dimension. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So you got to understand something. The universe was created. This is the whole thing was created out of another, created. God created another dimension because he can. He created another dimension so that he could colonize it. Why? Because he wanted to express and share his love, his commonwealth, and everything who he is. Hallelujah. Eternal kingdom. The eternal kingdom. Invisible kingdom, invisible kingdom. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He created the universe and is king. Now let me tell you, first of all, he is king, which gives him authority and power. Say authority and power. And we'll get back to that. First go to Romans 1. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Romans chapter 1. See, and the world is such a mess. If they understood that they were created out of God's love, because he wanted to colonize this dimension, we wouldn't be in so much war. But you know what? People are seeking authority and power because it's a desire within us. But it isn't righteous of what they seek. They seek it for themselves. We seek it to expand his character. You understand? Because within us, there's a desire to colonize. We just could never get it up into our pea brain. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I used to watch a lot of Star Trek. I always wondered why. After I got saved, I used to watch some episodes and weep and cry. I'm thinking, what is the matter with me? I would see them go colonize or go help people on another planet that were stranded or whatever. And they were trying to bring their ethics and character. Because see, in that, there is no, everybody's associated with the Commonwealth. There isn't people that get paid more because they're a captain or if they're a dishwasher. It isn't about pay. It's about the Commonwealth to expand and colonize. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. One day we're all going to get beamed up. Hallelujah. You can say, beam me up, Jesus. Yes. I've been wanting to get on that transporter thing for a long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go where no man has gone before. Hallelujah. In verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. It is revealed from where? The invisible, the heaven. And the unrighteous man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, its invisible attributes are clearly seen. It's what? Invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened, professing to be wise, but they became what? Fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In other words, they began to worship creation instead of to worship the Creator. They began to seek the hand of God instead of the face of God. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Those are invisible attributes that you and I know and see. But they're not invisible to us, are they? In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So he acknowledged him as what? King eternal, didn't he? Amen. He qualified by inheritance, owner of the land and territory in the universe, creator of the visible and invisible realm. Inherited authority and power. Now let me share with you, authority has to do with responsibility. Power has to do with ability. Let me repeat it. Authority has to do with responsibility. You have authority. An individual who is not responsible will never have authority. He may act and think he does, but he doesn't, because he's irresponsible. Responsibility is associated with authority. Hello? And power has to do with ability. But first of all, understand this. Authority gives power its legality. Come on, repeat it with me. Authority gives power its legality. Right. Authority is associated with responsibility, isn't it? We just said that. If an individual is not under authority, he has none. If he's not under authority, it's because he's not responsible, is he? He's irresponsible. That means he has no authority. That means if he doesn't have authority, he has no power. Because authority, hello, gives power the legality, the legal arena. Why? Because it goes back to falling under the government. Are you with me? It goes back to falling under the kingdom government. That's why people are getting beat up left and right. Because they associate with independent spirit and think they can just go out and do whatever they want and call on Jesus. No, I don't have to submit to anybody. The Bible says that I'm the church. Yes, we are the church. We're the members of the church. The church is a whole body. You can't go out and just do what you want to do. It don't work that way. Why? Because then if you're not under authority, you have none. And because you're not responsible to go under authority, you're out of the government alignment and you have no power. And the enemy will kick your butt. Because he knows this. See, he knows about kingdom stuff. That's why he's been trying to prevent it from not being established or understood all of these years. But God said that he would reveal things in the last days. And we're in them. We're in the last minutes. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Matthew 7. Matthew 7:24. I believe. Was it Matthew 6:24? Okay. Are you there? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Why? Because he didn't fall under the government, did he? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these things that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having what? Authority. Ooh. Not as the what? Scribes. Not as the religious. Because he was expressing about the kingdom of God with authority and power. Not associated with religiosity that brings bondage. Matthew 28, are you there? Glory. Gladius. Matthew 28. That's why God's bringing the body of Christ through deliverance, so they can fall under a government rule. Why? So they can walk with authority and power. Verse 18, and Jesus came to speak to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wow, he said, listen, he made that confession. All authority has been given to me in the visible and invisible realm. Why? Because I own it all. Hello? In Psalm 62. Praise God. Psalm 62. Is everybody there? In verse 9, surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they were weighed on scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Ooh. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Power belongs to who? God. Go to John 10. I know I'm moving a little bit faster. It's okay, you can get the tape. John chapter 10. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. John 10. In verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold or this dimension. Hello? Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have what? Power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Wow. See, because he inherited it, didn't he? He was the creator of all this dimension, the visible and invisible, and everything, because he owns it all, he is the king. He's the landlord. Hallelujah. He's the king of eternity, the dimensional kingship. He will expressed through every corner of the dimension of this creation, whether it be visible or invisible, his eternal character, his purpose and will. From one end of the universe to the other end of the universe, his will is being manifested, whether visible or invisible, because he owns it all. Are you with me? The Bible says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24, 1 and 2. The earth is the what? Lord's. Praise God. Go to Isaiah 45. In verse 18. It says, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it and did not create it in vain, who formed it to be what? Inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. Go to Leviticus 25. Leviticus is a representation of the Levites, who are the tabernacle keepers. It's the tribe of Levites. They are priests. Leviticus 25. Now, I want to share a little bit. I got a call from my wife who was in Israel, in Jerusalem. And she said that she went to the Wailing Wall and some other places where the Temple Mount was and stuff. And she said she was grieved in her spirit, because she said that you could see the difference in the people who are joyful and who are miserable. You can see the spirit of hatred on many of the Arab children and so forth. You can see that. She said the place, in certain places that you would think that would be clean and so forth, were dirty and nasty. She said that she sensed in her spirit that the escalation, that it's like the land can't take it much more. And the Bible says that the earth groans for the revealings of the sons of God. And she was saying, she was expressing to me that she said, you know, it's beautiful. I love it. I can feel the presence of God in certain areas, but you can feel the demonic influence tremendously here also. And she says it's like the land is about to just explode. She knows something's going to happen soon. You know, righteousness and unrighteousness will peak. Now listen to this, verse 23. And you got to understand that all the fight over there is over land. Amen? The land shall not be sold permanently. Are you with me? Is everybody there? For the land is mine, for you are strangers and foreigners with me. In Israel, no foreigner can buy a piece of property. You can lease it, but you can't own it. Only those who are citizens, Israeli citizens. Are you with me? Because see, and that isn't really done anywhere else in the country or the world that I know of. You know, see, that's part of kingdom ethics, isn't it? That's why the whole world's going to come against Israel. That's why people are fighting. And in fact, God set certain standards that he gave the Israelites all of this certain land. And people are still trying to take it. In fact, even because the government is not ruled by God, and we're going to go into this later, they're giving up land that belongs to the Israelites. And that's what this whole fight is over. But they call their organizations religious sects. But God didn't bring religion, he brought a kingdom. See, they're fighting over what they believe are religious beliefs, which is nothing but a lie. And they're fighting over land that is not rightfully theirs. It's God's. And he's coming back for that land. And he's going to destroy anyone who's on that land that doesn't belong there. Look at over there. People are blowing up one another and everything else. They're shifting. They're giving away pieces of property. Why? And it's all God's. You understand this? I'm talking, this is about a kingdom thing, not about a religious thing. But they're using a religious aspect. Well, we believe that this belongs to us. But you know what? The war is going on, isn't it? The land shall not be sold permanently, for the Lord, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. In all the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of you, one of your brethren becomes poor and he has sold some of his possession, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what he has, what his brother sold. Amen. Praise God. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale and restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. See, they call it Jubilee. So every 50 years, the land has to go back to its rightful owner. That's what happens in Israel. That's called Jubilee. That's what God set up. Is everybody with me? The land goes back to its rightful owner. Do you understand why there's so much fight there now? I mean, it's incredible. They're fighting over land. They're fighting over mosques. And they're fighting over positions and whatever. And it's all the Lord's. And he's coming back and to wipe out every stinking thing there and take back his land and put his people there. Oh, hallelujah. The land belongs to the Lord. Go to Matthew 20. In Matthew 20. Is everybody okay? I only got a couple more scriptures. But I got a lot of verses, so hang tough. Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. One time I was struggling with my eyes, and I wouldn't put on reading glasses, and I was doing a service. And I said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a lawnmower. Everybody was dying. So was I. It got real hot in there instantly. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Like a landlord. Why? Because he's lord over the land. Did you ever hear the word real estate? You know where it comes from? Estate, which means land that is real. Hello? That's real estate. Why? Because it can't lose its value. It's the only thing on this earth. You know what I call oil? Liquid real estate. Can't lose its value. Oh, hallelujah. Now, when he had agreed with the landlord went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle at the marketplace. And he said to them, you also want to go in the vineyard? And whatever is right, I'll give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, ninth hour, and did it likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when in the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, his what? Steward. That means he's a righteous king. Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came, who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now, wait a minute. Remember we talked about what a kingdom is. Everybody is equal to the same commonwealth. Amen? But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Go to 22. Glory to God. 22. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not all willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted kettle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their what? Ways. One is to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his what? Armies. Destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways and ask as many as you find, invite the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, now who did Jesus say friend to? Judas. He said, what? He said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Now, he's expressing his kingdom, isn't he? Everything he talked about in all parables and everything in association with kingdom. Kingdom business, kingdom ethics, kingdom rule. Everything is associated with kingdom. Remember, he came to bring a kingdom, not religion. Amen. And I'm going to close at Matthew 13. Hallelujah. Matthew 13. And verse 18. He says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony place, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The kingdom of God. Everything is spoken about the kingdom of God. Is everybody with me? The kingdom of God. Amen? You know, we're going to go into other areas. But I don't want to go any further tonight. And God willing, maybe we'll continue this Sunday. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that each and every one here will get the understanding of the kingdom in this three-dimensional position of its character and ethics and of its purpose of colonization. And Lord, we thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. and that you have called us. Lord, let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. I apply the blood of Jesus on these seeds that it not be stolen. And I'm asking, Lord, that your kingdom be manifested with revelation and impartation in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.